Good afternoon.
Today is the 13th of May 2008, and I'm now with Mr. Ulrich Schiffelbein, who is with the UNPOL in the UN mission in Liberia. He is Liberia National Police Administration Advisory Team Leader, and we are now at the HQ at the Pan-African Plaza in the capital, Monrovia, Liberia. Well, first, thank you for your time. And before we start the interview, I'd like you to please confirm that you've given your consent to the interview.
Yeah, I'm giving my consent to the interview voluntarily.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to start by learning a bit more about your personal background, particularly the positions you held before coming here with the mission in Liberia. How did you get involved in policing work overseas?
So I start with the beginning of my police career.
Briefly.
Yes, it's around 30 years ago. I started working for police right after high school in Germany. During the stages of being a patrol officer, I became a deputy chief of a drug investigation unit. I was chief of an administration unit. The last 6 years I was working as a spokesperson for a regional government in Germany, and in between I was on two UN missions before, both times in Bosnia, and here with the UNMIL is my third UN mission.
So you were in Bosnia in what years?
1997 and in 1998.
And you arrived in the mission in Liberia?
On 13th of May, 2007.
Okay, excellent. Can you briefly describe for us the sort of the mandate of the mission here and the main objectives, particularly in your specific function?
The main objective is to implement Liberian National Police, or to reconstruct the Liberian National Police meeting international standards. And of course, in each peace mission, to keep the peace in Liberia.
What was the status of public order and crime when you first arrived in the mission, and your assessment of it?
This mission is running since 2003. So when I arrived 1 year ago, it was there was not so many difference like it is now. It was quite peaceful. We didn't have any attacks on UN personnel. But here in Liberia, you still have a lot of riots, so we need riot control units to protect, especially also the LNP officers, because they are unarmed, and our riot control units or formed police units are the only ones who are carrying weapons. But in total, in this 1 year that I'm here, it was quite peaceful. What you mentioned something else.
What are the major challenges facing the Liberian National Police?
The major challenge for us is to train the LNP in the field. The officers are trained at the National Police Training Academy. On a 6 month course, and they come to be police officers. They don't have any clue about the practice of police work. They just learned the theory, and that is a huge challenge, because you need to train them everything. They don't need, for in my unit administration, they don't need anything about record keeping. They don't need anything about what kind of template they need, what is helpful for them. They don't know how to arrest someone. They don't know how to make a traffic control. So they need to learn everything with our assistance. They don't need, yeah. They need to don't need to write operation plans. They don't need. They don't even know who is going to make deployment orders for personnel. So every chief in this police thinks he can do that. And that creates a big mess, because if you are a usual police officer, you go to, for example, the LNP chief of personnel tells you you have to change your deployment, you go to another place and you don't like it, you just go to another chief you may know and ask him, and say, okay, it's not necessary, just stay here. And so that created in the past a lot of confusion inside the LNP. So right now, they don't even know exactly where their officers are. And we have started, for that reason, an operation called verification of LNP data. So we are going to make a head count, take photographs for new ID cards and make new personal data files for them. What is a thing that takes a long time and it shouldn't be necessary, but we didn't pay too much attention to this before, so it keeps us busy right now.
So we'll get to different function of reforming and restructuring of the national police, but before that, I'd like to ask you a few questions on your current role as a Yunpo. Can you describe for us what's the daily routine like? What's a typical day for you?
In your unit function. A typical day for me starts with meeting my team members. We're going to discuss what are we going to do during the day, and after that we are starting co-location with the LNP, with our LNP counterparts. My team is divided in advisors for personnel, advisors for finance, and advisors for logistics. And I, as a team leader, try to assist my team members on this task. I have to report to my supervisors and to review the reports they do after the co-location every day, and of course also to define our goals and work on that.
So you start your day in the UNMIL headquarters, no, then you go to the... No,
in the LNP headquarters.
In the LNP.
We have an
office, so you're based in the Liberian National Police HQ.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and spend the whole day there. Has there been any major staff change since you got here in your unit? And
what do you mean by that?
In terms of the number of UNPOL officers, how has the mission... looking, has it been rather stable?
No, in my unit there was no change. We always were six officers, and I mean now the drawdown phase will start, but I don't think that we are that they will reduce the number of officers working on this issue.
If you had a predecessor in this job, did that person leave you any records, and was there a handover period?
Actually, there was no good record management before, so I didn't, from my predecessor, I didn't receive any computer files. The hard copies were not well organized, so we had to start actually to reorganize this office.
So when you came, your team was already in place, or some came later?
No, we have, yeah, there was, from the former team were only two members left, and they, soon after I was there, they also left the mission, so I have formed a new team.
A whole new team. Okay. Do you have any advice for others who are moving into similar, this role after you, or a similar role, and that for Liberia, or maybe also from your experience in Bosnia, do you have any advice?
Yeah, I mean, I just talked about that we didn't find good records. So we have all possibilities here that the work someone has started can be continued after he left. We have, for example, shared drives where we can put all the reports together on a computer. The UN requires also hard copies, so we are filing all of our reports so that anyone who comes after my team members and me have left this mission can follow up what we have done here. And that is very helpful for each UNPOL officer who's coming to replace someone, that he finds something to continue with the work and that he not always have to start right from the beginning. It's especially very bad in your relation to the Liberian National Police, because if you're coming there for the 10th time to ask the same question, they are not very happy about this, as everybody can imagine.
Can you describe for us the pre-deployment training you may have gotten, as well as the induction training once you get into the mission?
You're talking about pre-deployment training here?
For you as a UNPOL, yeah, in Germany, pre-deployment training, if you got any, and then the induction training once you got on the mission.
In Germany, of course, we make first it's a selection process. After you finish this, you're going to a 2 weeks basic training, get familiar with the UN system, with standard of operations and all this UN bureaucracy, and of course also with some experience, some role plays from former missions to get familiar with this. And especially for my African mission, I got another 1 week training in Germany, only talking about this mission. And when I came to Monrovia, I went for 1 week induction training, what gave me some information about the history of the conflict, about the UN organization, about sexual harassment, about other topics that are very important for the UN, but because I had this training before in Germany, so I was quite well prepared. Yeah. So we are using the same training that is issued here. We're using it for our training in Germany.
Now, in regards to the time you already spend here on the job, was there anything you wished you would have gotten during the induction training or pre-deployment training that you're not prepared for, not particularly?
No, I don't know. I had the feeling that I was quite well prepared for this mission.
Okay, now I'd like to move to focusing on the Liberian National Police or the National Police you've been working with prior to that in Bosnia. And we're going to go through different areas of reform and restructuring. If you don't have any particular experience, we'll just move to the next one. So the first area is recruitment. Have you been involved in recruitment strategies?
No, I was not involved in recruitment.
Second is training and professionalization of the police force. Can you describe some of the training programs you've been involved with?
We are as administration advisors, we are only doing field training. That means we are trying to, or we are working with our counterparts to improve their skills. We are mentoring, assisting, advising, and monitoring what they do, and we try to find conclusions together to bring the professional standard of their work to a higher level.
So you mentioned the collocation, the advisors. How many of these advisors are they, and how many counterparts in the Liberian National Police do they work with generally?
Yeah, we are working with the three sections: personnel, finance, and logistics. And in the personnel section of the LNP are working 23 officers. They are our counterparts. In the finance.
So you have how many UNPOLs do you have as advisors in the personnel?
Our team is consisting of six.
Of six. Are there any other training programs going on at the same time? You mentioned that all the LNPs go through 6 months of training in the academy, basic training, you're doing follow-up in service on the job training. Are there any other training going on?
Yeah, there are different types of training, all kinds of training in the police academy, like criminal investigation courses, forensic, middle management course, senior management courses, all kind of police courses. But we are not involved in this. But what we do from time to time, when we recognize that there is a need to train our counterparts, we are organizing workshops together with the police academy on a special topic, just like, say, about record keeping, for example, and then together with the police academy, or also with civilian staff of UNMIL, if we are specialists here, we try to organize workshops to train these officers.
So you, how well do you think the training that you're doing, training and mentoring, is meeting the objectives, and how do you evaluate progress in terms of transfer of competences and so on?
Yeah, each of my team members is writing daily reports about what he has done, what he has seen, what he has observed. And we're going to review these reports. We're making our analysis. I'm having regular meetings with my supervisors. So we are always using the information to see where we are and where we have to go. And the aim is definitely always to transfer the responsibility as much as we can to the LNP.
And how far along are you in this process, would you say?
I started in this. You mean how far we are in the,
the process of handing over? And where are maybe some of the areas where a lot of training have been done, and maybe some areas where a lot more needs to be done?
Yeah, I can only talk about my work environment, and it is different. In the personnel section, they definitely need to learn more about making a proper documentation of all the things that they do. They failed in the past to keep the records updated about the officers. They failed to create proper duty rosters. They failed to make proper attendance records. So there's still a long way to go. I would say they may be able to do the work now by 50% to 60% on their own. In the finance section, we have a different problem. They are able, in the meanwhile, to do their job, but to get a proper payment for police officers in this country, there is a lot of improvement necessary that is not influenced by the police. For example, we don't have commercial banks everywhere. So you cannot start a payment on a bank account because you don't have a commercial bank. That makes it very complicated. It means here the procedure is that the Liberian National Police finance section is preparing a payroll every month. This payroll is forwarded to the Minister of Finance. The Minister of Finance is printing checks. These checks are sent through the country, and then the cashier from the Liberian Central Bank has to go around the country and cash the checks. That takes a long time every month, and it's quite complicated. So we have started actually to convince LNP officers to, where it is possible, to open up bank accounts voluntarily, that we at least can a part of them pay through the bank accounts. What makes the job much, much easier for the other people who have to go around and pay them. This is outside of police, but we're trying to solve this problem that all the officers get their pay in time. In the logistics section, we are facing, and again, different problems because they're having the problem that they don't have enough equipment, they don't have cars. Places where they have cars, maybe they don't have fuel, they don't have stationary equipment, they don't even have electrical power, they don't have paper in some places. So these are basic things.
Do they have police stations?
Yeah, they have police stations. But for example, donations coming in, and they're having a lot of computers. Mm. But if you don't have electrical power, what is the use of a computer? So it, for this mission here, it would have been much, much better in the beginning to get mechanical typewriters for them. And not to start on such an advanced level and trying to train them on computers. This country here is far away from computer technique. Even if you have computer and maybe you have electrical power for 2 hours, most of the police officers are not able to use a computer.
So you, when we're talking about payroll, you mentioned that the issue of reaching to the rest of the country. You're in the three sections you mentioned where your unit is working, personnel, finance, and logistics, or all the, so the support offices basically, are all the LNP based in headquarters in Monrovia, or are there some decentralized branches of these support units?
No, so far all this administration is done here in the headquarters. The people who are dealing with this in the country are the station commanders and the regional commanders that they have. But again, there is no good communication because they don't have any, beside of mobile phones, there is no way to get in contact with these people. So it starts, for example, sending attendance sheets to the headquarters to get the people paid. It's usually not possible. So we are trying to assist them and sending it through our communication channels, but definitely right now there could not be any transfer of responsibility to LNP because they don't have the communication equipment to talk to each other, to share information, to send documents or whatever.
One of the stories of the Liberian National Police is this hotline where you can where the public can call the police.
Emergency calls.
How do they operate this without communication?
Yeah, it's not. In fact, it's not really functioning. I mean, we have this 911 number, but it's not functioning. And again, there is another problem. Even if you have someone makes an emergency call, if you don't have a car, or the LNP does not have a car, maybe it depends where you are, does not have a car to come to your place, how can they react on an emergency case? That's a big, big problem.
Going back to the training, so you train the administrative side of things. The illiteracy rate is about over 70% in this country. How is this reflected in the police? What are the minimum criteria of literacy for the police officers?
They need to have a high school diploma.
So all know how to read and write.
Yeah, they know how to read and write, but a lot of them are not very good in that. So right now, the UN is encouraging females to apply for the police. We have a special training program for girls who did not get the high school diploma so far, but they have some school education, like 8th class degree or something. So they have the chance, they can apply. If they are elected, they have the chance in a 3 months school training to be prepared, to get prepared for the high school diploma.
Training programs in general, some you may have been involved in and you might have witnessed a number of others, are considered very expensive when the international community are doing it. Do you have any cost-saving suggestions of maybe some trainings you know of that are particularly successful but maybe don't require as much money? Well, the next area is the integration and amalgamation of services. Is this something that is potentially going to be part of restructuring and of the Liberian National Police? And particularly, how does this relate to your areas of responsibility in terms of personnel and finance, particularly?
You're not involved in
the amalgamation of services. Okay. Next there is internal management.
Okay.
We've been discussing some of the areas. Are they, what are some of the other key areas of where internal management needs to be strengthened?
We need to in the NMP we need to pay attention to every level of management. Still, there hasn't been any proper promotion policy in place. So the officers who are in charge or air commanders or whatever just have this temporarily. We have started last year in October writing this policy. The policy is signed, promotion policy, and we wanted to start. There was an institution called LNP Promotion Board, which was consisting of UNPOL officers and LNP senior officers. But we couldn't get along with them where to start. We wanted to start from the higher levels, that means deputy commissioner, but the inspector general of police wanted to start from the lower levels, what is in our understanding the wrong way, because if you have selected a high-ranking police officer and the one who is not selected can at least apply for the next lower level. But if you do it vice versa, it's not working. But she insisted on this, and so far we don't have any results in this, so we are stuck in.
Okay.
But you, so that is the reason why we don't have on every places really qualified leaders in the LNP.
At every level, you mean?
Yeah, on every level, and we have this promotion policy. It's describing all these requirements you need to have to get this or that rank, but so far it's not practiced.
So when the new police, new Liberian National Police was created sort of after the war, all the previous LNPs were deactivated?
No, not all of them. The UN has made background check on everyone. And when he was involved in some war criminality or whatever,
they were
deactivated. Yeah, vetting process. But I don't know the number, but a lot of them were police officers before. But I don't know the exact number.
So the middle-ranking officers are some of the officers from the previous force that have passed through the vetting process.
Yeah, right.
But there's still a gap in the middle management.
Yeah, there is a gap, and even in somehow it happens that even experienced police officers are getting got a very low rank after that.
Because all ranks were
re-established. And it was done by the LNP. They, we are not involved in this. We are trying to get involved in this with this LNP promotion board and with this promotion policy that was signed by the Inspector General of Liberian National Police. But as I described before, so far it's standing still. Nothing's moving.
What are some of the other significant management problems you are confronted with?
Management problems in that case, we are still hearing every day that there is corruption in this Liberian National Police. That, for example, if you don't like to work on some places, you just give your commander some money and he will mark you present, things like that. And this is a management that cannot be called management. It's not working like this.
What is this due to, the lack of supervision?
And because of if you see this country, the rural areas, some places are hardly to access, so it's not easy to check on this everywhere. Even not for the Liberian National Police management. They don't have this overview, as we said before, because of lack of communication, because of lack of possibility to reach these places and so on. So it's the quality of this police service here is very different. From, it depends from place to place, and if you have a skillful leader and a responsible manager for the police there, on this place it's quite good, but on some other places it's really, really poor.
So you described the census, sort of census and identification that has started or will start now?
It had started on 3rd of March. Mm-hmm.
Describe the different steps and the rationale on how this has been decided along with the LNP.
We discovered before that they have a lot of problems in the payroll, that officers who are in the payroll were mentioned to be on a specific place, you couldn't find them on that place, they were working somewhere else, and nobody had records about this. So that brought us to the idea that we need to make this kind of census to find out where are all these officers that had been trained in the police academy, where are they working now, who of them may have quit the job, who is not on his proper working place, and things like that. So the reason for this was just to fix the payroll, to get a real figure or a real idea how strong is the operational strength of the LNP in different parts of this country, and of course to install personal data filing system, what is not existing. And we started to negotiate with the LNP about that in October. We brought it up to the level of the Minister of Justice, because the Minister of Justice in Liberia is the head of the police. And with his support, we could manage to start on 3rd of March. We have verified all police officers in Monrovia, which has a number of 2,177. But since 25th of April, we are on standby because the minister needs to provide the LNP with a car that they can travel, and with a generator that we can use the computers, and of course with some money for the officers for overnight stays and for food. And this was promised for a long time, even before we started the whole operation. But we didn't receive it. So since 25th of April, we are standing still. But so we just carried it out in Monrovia. We couldn't go outside of Monrovia.
Only
so
in
far.
Monrovia you yeah. found 2,177.
Okay. And the total strength should be around 3,600.
Maybe a candid question. There's definitely a problem of lack of logistics means and vehicles and so on.
Yeah.
And here the Unipol is supporting the police with lots of their own vehicle and taking along some of the LNP. Why is it this? Why isn't Unipol working on the census maybe, with the LNP?
We are working with them. We have a unified. We have a team, a joint team to do it.
But in terms we of don't the logistics
have,
means.
We don't. Yeah, we don't have actually the money to feed these officers or to pay their guest house overnight stays or whatever is necessary. We cannot do that.
Okay. You could provide the car potentially.
Yeah, they could. Of course, they can go with us in our cars. That would be a possibility. I mean, we don't have generators. That would be another problem. To find a donor who is giving us a generator that we can use for this purpose. But this was all discussed before in several meetings in the Ministry of Justice, and the minister always said, okay, we'll provide you with everything. But so far, we didn't receive it.
In terms of operating budget of the Liberian National Police, what has been the trend, and can you give us rough ideas of what the operating budgets are, and what maybe what part goes to salaries, what percentage of the budget?
Oh, I don't have this. I mean, I have this. I have a draft of this budget, but I don't have this numbers in my head. I don't.
Okay. Has there been? Do you know if there has
there
been
is
major
a, there
changes?
There is a lack. There is a lack. They're having too much police officers on their payroll. It was a miscalculation, so they don't have enough money, or they're getting close to the. They're trying to refund other money to pay this additional officers they have on the payroll. So this money they're taking from this fund is missing there. That is the reason why we don't have electricity most of the time, because all the budget they had for fuel is already gone, and the new fiscal year will start on July. So we just have 2 or 3 hours electricity in the headquarters per day. Things like that. So obviously there are two options. One is they don't have calculated in the right way, or they misused the money somehow.
So now we've discussed a number of different areas. And I'd like to take a sort of step back and looking at the broader reform process. Of course, there are lots of challenges. What are some of the tasks that should be prioritized, in your opinion?
In my opinion and in my working field, the main lack is that we don't have electricity. If we want to teach them modern policing using the computers like it was planned, we need definitely electricity. We are always stopped by everything we try to make to get them reports or to getting lists from them, whatever. It's always we are stucking when it comes to okay, how can we print them out? We cannot because we don't have electricity. That is the main obstacle in our work, and we also have tried to convince the UN to provide this fuel that we can get better working results. But we're talking about $500,000, and that is a lot of money, and it's not so easy to get.
Okay. What kind of allies are in host countries are essential for success, or is this?
What do you mean with this? Giving donations?
In terms of the to make things happen and to get progress. Maybe this is not happening at the level.
You mean what countries are?
What kind of allies? No, in terms of in Liberia, for instance.
In Liberia.
Yeah. What are the key elements of making things happen when you have all these issues to resolve? Who are the people you're working with to towards progress?
I don't get you. It should be the government, okay. But the government always has a lack of money. So, in fact, everything or the most things work when you have an international donor. If you don't have an international donor, it's always hard to push something. Mm-hmm. Like I described it with the Minister of Justice giving us support for this verification operation. If you can find an international donor for this, it would be much, much easier to do it. But
Are there any innovations, and that again, in either in Liberia or in your previous work in Bosnia maybe, any innovations of experiments that you know about, either small projects or parts of the reform process, that you think or have been successes and you think we could learn from, merit more attention? Or that we could learn from because they were not successful?
I don't know. I don't know what to answer to this. I mean, in Bosnia, the biggest progress is that there is still peace and that the living conditions have grown during the years, and now it's also getting better with the relation between the ethnicities. But here in Liberia, we are far from that. I mean, of course, we have peace. That's nice, but we have an unemployment of 80 or 85%, and the main goals, in my understanding, should be to develop the economy. But for this. And there is one key factor: is a stable and capable police force that everybody who is going to make investments in Liberia can feel safe. And we don't have this so far.
Now turning to the UN and the donor community, if you could create a wish list. What would be two or three changes in terms of UN internal policies or management that would you would want to make your job more effective, to allow you to be more effective in your job?
I would prioritize the installation of proper communication channels. I would definitely increase the community policing activities, because the relation between the Liberian National Police and the Liberian people is bad. We're having a lot of cases of mob justice. So in my opinion, community policing would be a good policy to improve this relation and to bring trust for these police officers from the people living here. Yeah, that would be the main things.
Do you have any suggestions or lessons from the way of working with the host country personnel, with the counterparts in the national police that you like to share? In terms of what are good practices and maybe things that should not should be avoided.
My experience is whenever you got an idea to change something, and you want to make a new project, or let's take as an example record management system. You want to install a record management system. What we internationals sometimes do wrong is that we are starting to create these things and going with this
prepackaged.
Yeah, whatever. You're going to your counterpart, and they are getting disappointed or annoyed because they were not involved. So the first thing that I can recommend is, before you start any kind of project, talk to the people who should use it, who should work with it, because they might have different ideas than you have, and we cannot come. I cannot come with my German experience and say, "Hey, I'm the key. I have all the keys here. Let's do it like this." This country has a different culture. They have another experience, so we have to share it before we start to make any kind of project.
To conclude, maybe do you have any final comments on the way forward, or maybe some of the achievements, all modest may they be?
I've just mentioned what I would like to change, or what I think should be changed. There's one more thing inside this UN mission. I guess we can improve ourselves in sharing information. We are not all on the same level, and we're not sharing our information the best way we could do it. We have the possibilities of using shared drives. We have email and internet access, so it could be easy to inform each level of UNPOL officers we have, or feed them with all the information they need to do their job properly. And I guess we are failing in this.
Right. Well, I wish Schifferbein, thank you very much.